Hello, everyone. It is Skip Intro. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Ian McNally, Julian Yap, and Bahe Yusof. And we are celebrating the 80th anniversary of this film. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow, follow, follow. So it is, of course, the 1939 The Wizard of Oz that we're talking about today. And I think that we have some fans in the studio who are perhaps bigger fans than I. So I will just hand it off gently to said fan.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this movie. Mm-hmm. Depending on the time of the month or the time of the year, I might go, you know, this makes my top five films of all time. Mm. I love this movie. There's a certain magic about it. There's a certain naivety about it that I really enjoy. For a movie made in 39, the technical brilliance of this film is amazing. I've got the Blu-ray collector's edition of the 70th anniversary. Mm-hmm. The behind-the-scenes documentaries of that is amazing. There are deleted scenes and stuff. It's great. I love it. Love this movie.
Okay, let's do this then, all right? Let's just start with how you encountered the film. Because it is an oldie, and it is one that, like, people reference a lot. You know, it still comes up in terms of, like, memification. It's just a big one. So how did you guys encounter the movie?
I think for me, and, like, looking into the history of the movie, like most of America, and why it's so beloved is its TV. It was just on TV. I think it might have been a Christmas movie in Ireland. I'm not sure. Or an Easter movie. You know, because it's like no one wants to work in the TV station over the holidays. So what do you put on? Classic movies. And Wizard of Oz is like, ooh. And when I was looking into this, there was a point made about it was an event movie for TV. You would only get it once a year. Whereas now you can, you know, stream on demand. It's a completely different thing. So seeing that, and also it's like one of those things, like not being able to breathe. I can't remember a time without knowing what the Wizard of Oz was. It's just always been there in your head. You've always been off to see the wizard. You always know to look behind the curtain if there's a man there. Like, these are just things that are just, they're kind of like cultural touchstones.
So for me, I think it's just one of the movies that, you know, I don't know, maybe, do all parents do this? Parents confirm, but like, it was in the tape stack that we had, you know, we had Sound of Music, we had Mary Poppins, we had Wizard of Oz, but I remember watching it a lot as a kid and then sort of dropping off. I never came back to it in the...
You broke the tape.
That might have been it, actually, yeah. But I remember coming back a lot to Sound of Music and Mary Poppins and King and I and stuff, but not Wizard of Oz. I think I kind of took it for granted, maybe, because I think seeing it so often come up in a lot of things in as I grew up in a lot of media, I think I just thought, well, yeah, Wizard of Oz. Yeah, it's just always, yeah, like Ian said, it's always been there. And I don't think it felt like it was missing until I had to rewatch it this week. And it's weird going back to something that I have very fond memories of, but have very vague memories of at the same time.
Yeah, I feel as if with Wizard of Oz that it's something that I've just known by osmosis. Like, I can't remember exactly when it was that I watched it. I can't remember whether there was a time in my life that I hadn't watched it. I don't know whether that's just because it's such a pervasive piece of pop culture. But I do remember having the sense of, and I think Bahe used the word magic just now, and I think that there is a sense of magic to the film. I don't know whether it's because the first time you're watching it as a child and it's like Yellow Brick Road, what on earth? And, you know, I don't know if it's the familiarity with the story. I don't know if it's just the we're not in Kansas. Like, I don't know what it is exactly, but there is definitely that element of magic. And you're right. I think watching it as a child and watching it as an adult is like a really strange experience, especially since we're talking about a movie that is so many decades old.
But I think 8 decades old, right? Mm. Yeah.
That's why we're doing the show by here.
That's why we're doing the show. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I think that sense of magic is the film itself, like that opening in black and white, the fact that you, these all these tropes that, and the TV tropes page for this, by the way, is really long.
Massive, yeah. But I just want to say, like, even that black and white is not black and white.
It's like sepia.
Sepia toned, right? So it's not like a Charlie Chaplin black and white. It's like an old photograph. It's tinged. So even in that, those scenes, there's emotions just by being.
It's modern nostalgia.
Yeah.
And then when the change to color comes in, the witch's stripy socks, her toes roll up. I find the Lollipop Guild a little disturbing. I don't know if that's magical as such, but we'll get to that later, I guess. But it is the look of everything as well. Like, it's still, you don't think, oh, these are sets. Mm. It's like, that's the Yellow Brick Road. That's the cornfields. Yeah. That's just the way Oz looks. Yeah. It's just the horizon's a little bit closer than you're used to, but it just, it overwhelms your senses.
Yeah, and I think that that overwhelming of the senses, for me, at least as a child, it was the color. Like, this was Technicolor in Technicolor, right? The red of the shoes popped. The yellow is the yellowest yellow I've ever seen. The costumes of the Munchkins are colorful. The guy, the mayor of Munchkin Land has got flowers coming out of the toes of his shoes. It's just so wild.
And that's just a fungal infection.
It's just bright, right? So, and I think that's kind of, as a child, I really liked the idea of these bright things, and you just can't take your eyes off it.
That was one of the things that when rewatching struck me the most, because there's also scenes where it kind of veers into, it's almost too dark. Not that it's visually too dark, that the greens are very, very green and very deeply green. The green. Purples are very, very purple. Yeah. The bit when they go into the forest near the end, it's almost Lord of the Rings kind of cold, the Black Cauldron kind of dark. Mm. It reminds me of Sleeping Beauty, which came out kind of a few years after that, I think. And it's that the idea that that's just what sets look like, and the hand painted quality crafting of it feels really nice to watch. I don't know. Magical, I guess that's the word.
I think as well, not just that visual darkness, but also the Wicked Witch is scary. Those flying monkeys are scary.
I hate those monkeys.
Like, that is, I think we've done a couple of shows now about the difference between kids' movies and children's movies. Mm. That's a big part of it, is that there is this menace, there is this evil in it, and it's like getting kids, adults, anybody getting used to the idea of like, someone's going to kill you unless you throw water on them. So be aware of that in the world and watch out.
That, and I mean, that is, I think you can't move past talking about this film without mentioning, we've said like magical a lot, but the other thing about it is that it's just really iconic. You know, there are so many like deeply iconic things about it. And part of it is that screech. It's the flying monkey screech. And it's just like, that's part of the menace, right? I mean, you hear it and you're just like, Yep, you're going to come look for me in Malaysia. I can feel it. Yeah.
I'm deathly afraid right now.
Correct. It's all going to end. So we are talking, of course, about The Wizard of Oz. It is the 80th anniversary of this classic film. What are your memories to do with The Wizard of Oz? Do you love it as well? You can tell us. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at skipintromy. And of course, you can write us at movies@bfm.my.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
Hello, everyone. This is Skip Intro with Lynn, Ian, Bahe, and Julian. Today, we're talking about The Wizard of Oz because it is the 80th anniversary of the movie. Tell us your favorite bits. Tell us your favorite memories. When did you first encounter it? We want to know all that good stuff. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at Skip Intro MY and write us at movies@bfm.my. I, again, have been given to understand that a lot of prep has gone into wanting to just extol the virtues of this film.
It's been a lifelong
film.
Of prep.
Hey, this is what I've been training for.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. All the other 100-plus episodes of Skip Intro, all just,
this is,
you know,
leading up to this.
So what I'm saying is, go.
I mean, I think, for me, a lot of the facts that I kind of sort of have learned over the years is less about how the magic of the movie, but just also the magic of making films in 39. And I use the word magic quite liberally, in the sense that it can also be detrimental to your health. I think quite a few people have actual serious injuries from this thing, just because of how unprepared the production was. Also, how, I guess,
health and safety wasn't the best back then.
About the idea of, you know, putting dangerous materials on things and people. And that to me is interesting in that this movie, this beloved movie, has got such a troubled behind the scenes stories. Yeah. I think The Wicked Witch essentially got her face burned. She got second degree burns on her face from that first explosion as she leaves the Munchkin land. And the reason was because her makeup had copper in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the copper is conducive and it catches fire. There was a different actor playing the Tin Man, and he had to go to the hospital because the silver paint that they had him in has got aluminium flakes on it, mm-hmm. and it essentially shut down his lungs.
Yeah. It's the same as the Bond girl in Goldfinger.
Yeah. So it's just all these like really
dire stories.
Dire stories. But hey, love this movie. Great fun.
We can also say we did get a lot of urban legends around the movie as well. Mm. We got one from at Ahmad Sobe, who asked that Munchkin suicide in the background. I think this is one that's been disproven, right?
This is, yeah, it's been disproven. It's not real. I mean, you can look it up online. I think there are actual screen grabs of supposedly that hanging body. It's like a piece of prop or something. So, yeah. So strike that one out, I think, quite easily.
There's also like the kind of weird little things where you kind of learn as you, you know, pop culture your way through life, and you kind of learn, like, you know, the lion's costume was like a real lion.
Was a real lion.
And they had like three or four of those, so it's not just one lion here to die for this. And but it's also, it looks so beautiful on screen. It was terrifying as a kid. The face was awful to look at.
That lion costume was designed by the guy that also did the Leo the Lion role from the...
Oh, wow.
Which studio has got the lion in the opening?
MGM.
So he was the trainer for that one, and he also designed the lion costume.
And if he's asked,
we don't know where the lion's
costume. That's what I'm saying.
Whenever he was asked in a court of law, he said there is no link. There is no provable link between them.
I'm just saying, there's a tenuable link. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, the three of them, most of the characters, you know, the flying monkeys, the Tin Man, the lion, the scarecrow, they look a little bit terrifying. Mm-hmm. Real terrifying. I was telling Bahir that flying monkeys are awful to look at, and they're expressionless but still very menacing faces. I mean, they're iconic, but they're terrifying.
I think everything is a little bit askew. I think that's the thing about it. When you look at the lion, the scarecrow, just any of them really, that isn't sweet Dorothy holding her dog, when you look around the place, you're like, is that lopsided? What's going
it's
on
just
there?
Slightly off, right?
So a little bit.
And for me, I think that's the disarming thing about the movie, because you can get swept up in the music and all that, but then if you sit down and actually watch it, it can you sort of start playing mind games with yourself, right? It's almost like when our intrepid adventurers run across the fields, and there's this beautiful, lovely, gorgeous fields of flowers, and then they realize they're poisoned.
you know, are making such a good case for this movie. Okay, so I just got back from the States, and while I was there, I did actually see the Ruby Slippers.
Sure.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say humble brag, then I thought, you know what, just brag.
Just brag.
Just
own
do it.
Let us know.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say was that they're really beautiful. They're encased in a box that's like temperature regulated, and that is, you know, obviously like just kind of archival. Mm. And each sequin is hand stitched, and she went through, I can't remember how many different pairs of
six,
shoes.
I think they made six pairs.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was cool because they were a little bit lopsided. Again, like in theme with the whole thing, the shoes were slightly different to one another, and you could see the wear on the heel, and it was cool. I mean, they did talk about how the sequin colors are starting to fade. So when you see the shoes themselves, they're sort of more of a maroon.
Then they are the
ruby red of the movie.
They're not quite in gorgeous Technicolor.
No, and I think part of that is age. Part of that is maybe they just never were.
Part of it is just life.
Exactly, but yeah, you know, it was kind of cool. I'm kind of glad that I saw it before coming back to do the show. It was interesting.
That is for me one of the highlights. I want to see that because it's iconic, right? It's up there in terms of, you know, pop culture props, right?
Yeah.
It's the Han Solo blaster. It's the Luke Skywalker lightsaber. It's Dorothy's red ruby shoes.
I can't believe we've gotten this far without talking about the music.
Speaking of iconic. Yeah. You know.
I mean, since we talked about doing this, I've had Mrs. Gulch themes running through my head all week as I've been running around town doing errands.
The what?
That's the one?
Whenever I'm stressed that I have work to do, that runs through my head.
Yeah, that will make you run, I think. Yeah.
That really kind of stuck in my head, especially as she's like cycling past the window when the house is flying away. But I mean, it's in the pop culture because of those songs. There's still, I just did some research and Googled like versions of Over the Rainbow, and there are millions and millions of versions.
And did you know that that song was almost cut from the movie?
Really?
Yeah. In their first cut of the movie, they wanted to remove the song because they thought it was too boring. And also that they didn't want the star of the show, Judy Garland, who is, you know, who's at the peak of her popularity at that point.
And a juvenile.
And a juvenile, singing in a barn. Not glamorous.
Bless.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody decided to talk them back into it. So, but no, the original cut of the movie didn't have that song.
I got to say, rewatching it, I cried. And this is really early on, right? This is the first like 5 minutes in. And I think I hadn't heard the Judy Garland one in so long that hearing it, and it's so pure and it's so clean. Yeah. I think listening to it, it almost felt like, wow, music has never been the same.
It's also something
about
what...
And it's so beautiful.
Yes, but there's also something about in context, right? Mm. You can Google it and watch the clip that it's in. But if you watch the beginning of the movie into that song and just past
it... You got to open-end it. Yeah, with, like, both ends,
because the music then makes sense to the character at the time. Yeah,
I mean... If I Only Had a Brain always comes to mind as well. But, you know, anytime you go on a trip, you have to put on We're Off to See the Wizard, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
There's so many things that we're talking about that... So I haven't rewatched it in a good few years.
I didn't need to. It's just that I was able to just think about it. It's like, yeah, no, I've seen this
brain,
enough.
Yeah,
no, but that's exactly it. I mean, while we're talking about it, I can see it. Like, I can see it very, very vividly. And I think if nothing else, this movie is really, really vivid. You know, you might not... I think we do talk about this a lot, and I did just want to like bring it home with this because it's 80. And we talk a lot about like the Lion Kings and the Beauty and the Beasts and the stuff that is being remade after, what, a 20-year break, you know, and that's being remade frame for frame just with real people or with real fake lions. What are they? Real fake lions? Fake real lions? Whatever. The point is, we talk about that a lot, and one of the things that we end up talking about is whether or not wonder is being stolen from kids, you know, when they encounter these movies instead of the originals or whatever. Do you think that Wizard of Oz still has that wonder for someone's, you know, like, I don't know, 6-year-old, 7-year-old who stumbles upon it in the same way that it used to be in our tape stacks or that it used to be on TV? Like, will it still have that effect in this world of CG and, you know, just everything being... done however you want it to be done?
I think those tape stacks are an important point. Julian's parents were curating those. I mean, there is, if you listen to any movie podcast, they're always concerned about when is the best time to show movies that you love to your kids to try and not brainwash them into loving them, but to get the to share your love where they don't just go, that Star Wars movie's a bit rubbish, isn't it? And I think getting that right moment to get that magic across, I think if you want to have that magic in your kids' life, you have to help them create it. You have to be the wizard behind the curtain. Just like, hey, we're going to watch this movie. No pressure. Just if you like it or whatever.
And I think, in fact, I was interviewing a parent a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about how they actually have sort of introduced their kids to the older Disney cartoons.
First,
compared to the newer ones. Because, and as a parent, you see this. The newer films, specifically like something like the Lego Movie and
Toy Story,
or even just other kids-based movies, right? I'm doing air quotes. The scenes are very quick, whereas they felt like the older, you know, Snow White, we're talking about Sleeping Beauty, the scenes are played out longer, right? There's an emotion left out in the camera shots. You're not treating your kids with ADD because like color, scene, change.
Yeah.
You know, whereas the older ones have got drawn out emotions and you're introducing your kids to the idea of pacing, to the idea of patience and paying attention to scenes as they grow. And I think Wizard of Oz is going to be right up there for me in terms of the films I introduced my kids to because, they're going to love this movie. Hell or high water.
Whether they want to or not.
Not no pressure, lots of pressure.
Lots of pressure.
I was introduced these, like what Bahir just said, I was introduced with all of the older Disney movies. And I have young cousins now who are starting to get into movies and, you know, things that aren't in the cinema. They've got to, you know, they've got to stream it on demand.
Yeah.
And they enjoy Mary Poppins and they enjoy Sound of Music because there is a weird, like Lynn, you said before, it's a bit askew. It's a little bit weird. It's a little bit clunky. It's the story endures time, right?
Mm.
That idea of escaping, wanting to find something, but then ultimately finding something, it's all in your backyard. Mm. And
out there, there's lions and tigers and bears. Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, watching it as a kid, everyone went through this, you know, courage is within you, kindness is within you, the love that a heart isn't judged by, you know, how much you can love and stuff like that. It's not, these are lifelong, enduring messages that all kids are still going to enjoy. So I don't think it's going to cheapen or it's going to tarnish in any way. I don't see any kids kind of walking away from this disappointed at all, I think.
And on that note, what are your favorite memories of Wizard of Oz? Do you love the movie? Let us know. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at SkipIntroMY. Write us at movies@bfm.my. And also, by the way, if you caught our episode on Netflix's Street Food Asia earlier this week and you are just as mad as we are, and rightly so, you can head to bersatuformakan.my and find out more about how we're coming together to fight for our street food. Watch the trailer, sign the petition, and share it with everyone you know.
Somewhere over the rainbow, skies on. That you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where